It's time for Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. The first hour of Sports Time is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Statz Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome in to Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you. Johnny Hill producing as always. We're Sports Time. We're with you for the next 3 hours. Plenty to get to after a very, very busy weekend in the sports world. NBA playoffs, NHL, Stanley Cup playoffs, MLB, the Kentucky Derby. Plenty of stuff going on this weekend, so a lot to get to over these next 3 hours. We've got some great guests joining us to talk about everything as well that happened over the weekend. But Brett, how are you this afternoon?
Brian, I'm doing well. 150 years of the Kentucky Derby and the closest one ever. A three-way dead heat, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a great ending, and kind of the suspense of everybody kind of hanging out around and trying to figure out, you know, who actually won this thing. And it was fun, you know, and finally we figured out, you know, we got a winner. And it was kind of weird because they were interviewing the owner of the horse, and they were like, "You just won the Kentucky Derby. How's it feeling?" He's like, "Well, don't say anything yet. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to jinx anything." And then I think like mid interview,
we know it can change there.
Sure, sure. So it was definitely a fun weekend at the Kentucky Derby. Our old boy Fierceness, the heavy favorite, he kind of lost his gusto towards the end. But
that was my guy.
Yeah, it was your guy, Johnny. But that's all right. It was a good finish nonetheless.
Yeah, Johnny, you and your win play showing forth 0-4.
Ooh.
Man, hey. Hey,
Johnny needs some sort of Brett, to humble him.
Hey, Brett, it get rough in the Derby streets, man.
It does. Running in that mud they were running in. Bryant, you're 1-4.
Okay, all right. A little bit better. I love it.
Barrett Bell, Bruce Marshall, Dick Girardi, and Brett, all 2-4.
Wow, how about that? I should have listened more to y'all instead of my gut.
And had all that work in your way, but it was a fun race. But I'm afraid none of the three that were in the photo are going to Baltimore for the Preakness.
Are they not?
I don't think so.
Wow, I have no idea. Honestly, I'll watch the Kentucky Derby. After that, I'm kind of lost. After that,
even if we got a Triple Crown,
I'll watch. But I mean, I couldn't tell you anything about those races or anything. I mean, I'm a little bit about the Derby, but
you can go in depth with the breakdown like we did Friday.
No, probably not. Probably not. I could will myself into it, but I would definitely have to do some research beforehand.
It's one of the things about going to the track that never did that much for me. Is it just takes so long in between races?
Oh yeah,
and I know you can't, you know, get them out there and run them like you're running the, you know, 220 hurdles.
Sure.
I understand that, but hey, man, it's a lot of downtime.
It is, and it's a long build up for the Kentucky Derby once they get their broadcast going.
Almost longer pregame than Super Bowl.
Well, you're absolutely right, and I flipped it over at about 5 because I was hanging out with Melinda, my girlfriend, and she was like, "In the Kentucky Derby this afternoon?" I was like,
"It
absolutely is." And so I flipped it over. I was like, "Let's see what they're doing over there." I flipped over. She was like, "Oh, it's about to happen. They're like walking the horses over." I go, "Oh, no. We have like a whole another hour before they even run." She was like, "That doesn't make any sense." I was like,
"They're over there bareback and in saddles and in the jaw. Oh, boy, it is tedious for, you know, for me, you know, really one, maybe two mm-hmm. max 3 weekends a year. And, you know, it's just where we are kind of as a sporting country. Brian, in the 50s, there were really three sports in the United States: baseball, boxing, and horse racing. And college football.
Yeah.
Pro football was distant fourth, and NBA was way down the list.
When I'd say
college basketball, very
down. Sure.
A little like now, very nichey.
Mm-hmm. Well, and unfortunately, you talk about those kind of three big sports, and I'd say two of them. I mean, how many people are just talking about boxing? I mean, I was listening to Greg Gaston this morning. He was talking about some big-time boxer that had a boxing match over the weekend. I had no idea it even happened. And
me either.
Kind of same thing outside of the Kentucky Derby with horse racing. People just do not keep up with it, and it's interesting just how much things have changed. Because you're right, especially boxing and horse racing. Those were, I mean, two sports that a lot of people really cared about across the country, and now it's just kind of the complete opposite.
For me, I big boxing fan in the 70s, and the big heavyweight fights seemed like Super Bowls.
Yeah.
You know, Ali, Frazier, Foreman, Ken Norton, Jimmy L, and other. There were a lot of them that Wide World of Sports on Saturday really made it prominent. And then along came the 76 Olympic team with Sugar Ray Leonard and others. Mm-hmm. And that had a great boost for boxing into the 80s. For me in boxing, something happened. I know it was an accident. I know, nobody wanted it. But when Boom Boom Mancini was in the fight that Dooku Kim later died from, from the injuries from it. And as the 80s wore on and the alphabet soup of organizations and just the shysters around it, I was done with boxing probably about the time Buster Douglas beat Tyson. After that, I was done with boxing the rest of the 90s. And when we had the fight here, I didn't go and turn down, covering it for one national radio outlet. I just didn't want to be around it. I'll still watch Olympic boxing, three rounds, protective headgear, et cetera. Not that I'm that, Puritan about it, but I just couldn't do it. But horse racing really never grabbed me because of the slowness of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you on that. It's mighty slow. I think that's kind of
hurry up and get there.
Yeah. But it is interesting how things have changed. I'm kind of with you on
but
boxing.
I love baseball, and that's a knock on baseball. But so many is
How slow it is. No, you're right about that. About boxing, I mean, it is so interesting now because it's just not there. And there's like a couple of boxers that will draw a big, a lot of attention. But I
couldn't name one.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's the thing, and there's only a couple that come to my mind.
And I would not change chairs to watch MMA.
Yeah. Well, and MMA kind of seems like it's on the other end. It seems like it's kind of gaining popularity.
I do agree with you on that, Brian.
As more time
they do
on.
A better job of promoting that over boxing.
Oh, they promote.
They
crazy.
Do way better than that.
And I think that's a big part of it is promoting. But I feel like we've talked a lot through the first month of the Major League Baseball season of weather has played a factor. Seems like this weekend was the weather weekend. A lot of delays, a lot of postponements. Cardinals involved in a 3-hour rain delay in the bottom of the 10th inning Saturday night when they were playing the White Sox. So it was just a very weird weekend weather-wise for Major League Baseball.
It has been, and in the Cardinals, it took 52 seconds to resolve it once it started back after that long a delay, and nobody wants that, and they were really trying to wedge it in. In fact, both teams had to play in it, so, not an advantage for either one. Nobody put out either way because both teams were out there in it, but that whole 10th inning probably shouldn't even have started.
No.
But they were trying to get it in, and then when they got back, C.B. Buckner had a strike zone that Wilt Chamberlain couldn't hit in.
Yeah, that was kind of crazy. The final strike that was called on Ivan Herrera to end.
Felt like
CB
was ready to go home. Didn't it?
It seemed like it. And honestly, I don't know if I can blame him. I mean, you got to do your job at the end of the day. But I think everybody wanted to go home at that point.
I didn't know CB was punching a clock, but he was ready to go.
He was ready to go and definitely let it be known. But I don't know. I'll be honest. I didn't have much faith in anybody that was stepping up into the box. I know it was Nolan Gorman before, I believe, and then they decided to put Ivan in there. And the way this team's been hitting, I kind of thought that we were going to come back from a 3-hour break, and however it happened, that game was going to end in some way very quickly. But I did not think it was going to be thanks to the home plate umpire. So
no, it was pretty bad. I'd gone to the Showboats game and then went to a deal to watch the Kentucky Derby downtown, and the Cardinal game. I'm looking at my phone. I'm going, what's going on? why we stopped.
Whew, I mean,
and it was a while.
Out of nowhere, a downpour in St. Louis. I mean, it came out of, and then
we lose two out of three to the White Sox.
Yeah, and I fear, Brett. I know
what was the bet at the Dacus house.
Well, there was no bet, but I'm telling you, one of us is a lot more happy and has been showing their colors more than the other. I can assure you of that. It was not a great weekend for me in my household. But Brett, I fear, you know, today we're going to talk a lot of baseball at 4:30. Johnny, today could be the day. I fear it. I feared it a couple times.
It may not get to 4:30. Wait till the night top story.
Johnny, okay. Today could be a day that we remember because it could be the day Brett breaks
now,
his.
Now, analysis and
I think he done good despite the circumstances.
Criticism,
Brett, there's
is not in violation, is it?
Fine line.
And I played all around.
Yes, there is a fine line.
In fact, CB Buckner probably would already rung me up.
Mm-hmm. Well, CB Buckner
Hernandez
would,
definitely
certainly.
Would.
Well, you'd be ejected by Angel Hernandez at this point
because people pay to go see him.
That's right. That's right. And CB Buckner sounds like he's starting to kind of get in that category. But no, it was.
I can't
wait
to be robot umpires.
Honestly. Yeah, that was kind of the first time I've been I'm ready.
I want
them
to just stand out there, and I want people to heckle them.
Yeah,
well, hey, hope a pigeon doesn't land on you.
Well,
what are you doing?
That's the great thing about the challenging pitches at AutoZone Park is kind of watching those umpires and then make a call. The batter immediately challenge it, and then the batter is right. And then you just kind of have to see the umpire just kind of stand there. And he has to give the, it's ruled a strike or whatever. And he just has to stand there and take it. It's great. It's
now, the only thing is, you know, for purists, traditionalists, et cetera, do we really want the end of the World Series to be like that?
True.
He calls it a ball. They challenge. It's a strike. And somebody like Angel Hernandez will give it the big.
Uh-huh, sure.
You know, we'll give it the big sale, sure. Look at me job.
Sure. Well, but Brett, the great thing about it is Major League Baseball has a manager that, you know what, finds ways to say, we're going to change the rules, but we're not going to change the rules come playoff time. So you never know.
There's the silver lining.
Any
you're right.
Rule that could be changed might not be here when it comes playoff time.
Who knows? Come playoff time, what in a playoff? And I know it was a tough play, but even then I didn't know how necessary it was. But, you know, come playoff time, yeah, you can bowl the catcher over Pete Rose, Ray Fossey style if you'd like.
Sure, why not?
See, you're walking me into it. I may not make it to Night Top Story.
I was about to say, we might not make it to Top Story of the day. So I will try to get off the topic quickly and talk about – we've got a lot of picks to make today. We'll do that a little bit later. We've got NBA picks to make. We'll do that in our next segment.
Got hockey series?
Hockey picks. We'll probably do that around What's Trending or whenever you want to do it, Brett, if you see a better time. Maybe not make everybody wait for hockey picks.
We can't threaten them like that.
No. We're not threatening anybody. but we did, unfortunately – I hate to bring this up. We did make Showboat Bankroll picks over the weekend, Brett.
We did, and I'm the big winner again, Johnny.
You are the big winner. You're starting to run away with it. And I believe Johnny's the big loser again.
Johnny dropped $30.
The Showboats.
Man, I'm such a homer.
I'm at 1,400. Bryant's at 1,025. Johnny's at 855. Johnny's 2-4 on the year. Bryant, you're 3-3. I'm 5-1 picking Showboat games.
Wow. How about that?
Man, you really got a pulse on what's going on, Brett.
Well, I've seen them. Well. Here's the pulse. Go against them.
Well, that's probably a smart thing to do.
When you can't run block and you can't pass block, you're in big trouble.
Not a good
You can't be out there, Brett, if you can't do either or.
No.
Almost saw the goalpost come down Saturday, and I'm not talking about being torn down.
I heard about that.
Late in the game, south end zone, tight end for Birmingham, catches a touchdown.
Big guy.
Uh-huh. I thought they were coming down,
yeah.
Brian.
I mean, the way it was shaking, I was like, whoa. But thankfully, stayed up. Good construction on the goalposts.
Really good.
To stay up. But yeah, I also have a confession to make. Since we're talking about our picks and stuff like that, as some people who are listening might know, I've been filling in for Dave Woloshin this week.
You have phenomenal job.
Last week, and then a couple days this week. Well, he also does golf picks. And so Dave must not be keeping up with our golf picks because he said, I want you to make the picks for me. And I said, Dave, I don't know if it's a great idea. I'm in fourth place in ours, but whatever. Explain to me how I picked a winner, the winner for Dave, but I did not pick him for myself when it came to our picks in the afternoon.
You picked Canadian Taylor Pendrith for Dave?
I did, and he was like my second pick, I think, for Dave. And for some reason, I could have just saved myself the work and just gone with the same picks I went with Dave, and I would have had a winner, Brett. And I, for some reason, got cocky or whatever. I think it's all the, you know, Johnny, and you've only had to experience this for like a week because you picked Scottie Scheffler. Scottie Scheffler has not been in a
Where's John when you need him?
Interesting.
Why
do you
bring this up, Johnny?
Bringing up bad memories, man.
The pressure.
Brad, I can never win with Brian.
Of picking first, I think, is what got into my mind. It was playing tricks on my mind, and I went against the picks I had already made, 4 hours prior?
I'm sorry that golf picks have gotten so ugly this year and turned us into mere animals.
It really has.
Turning us against each other.
The year just started. I mean, there's a lot of season left.
Do you realize next week is the PGA Championship, the second of four majors this year?
Is that right?
Yes.
Wow. So maybe not as early as I thought it was.
This week, Wells Fargo and the Myrtle Beach Classic, and we will pick them both Wednesday.
Of course we will.
And then next week, what used to be Glory's last shot is now Glory's second shot.
How about that? Well,
PGA Championship at Valhalla, and in Louisville had the Derby, you know, last week,
sure.
And next week, PGA Championship.
Holy cow. What a 2 weeks.
Yeah.
That's incredible. But as everybody knows, I'm the king of making picks for the secondary tour stop. So, you know, we picked the straight-up winner last time, so maybe we could have similar success. I don't know.
So you're calling it Myrtle Beach, huh?
I don't know what it will get me. Probably nothing.
Not
like the first one did.
Like the Boca Raton Bowl.
Yes, correct. But we'll see. But we got plenty to talk about today throughout the show. Let me set up today's show before we get to top and not top story of the day. 3:30, we'll talk some NBA, some good games over the weekend. But we also have some picks to make for those series. We got one starting tonight, so we'll make some picks. We'll also talk what happened over the weekend and preview game two tonight between the Timberwolves and the Nuggets. 3:45, we'll talk about everything that happened over the weekend. Like I mentioned, just a very, very busy weekend. So we'll talk a lot about what we were keeping an eye on over the weekend. 4 o'clock, David Cobb. He joins us every single week from CBS Sports. Talk some college football and college basketball. Plenty to get to with David Cobb at 4 o'clock. College basketball transfer portal, college football news. A lot to get to at 4 o'clock. 4:30, we'll get into some more baseball talk. I'm sure a lot of talk about the Cardinals. A really, really poor showing from them all weekend long against the Chicago White Sox. But a lot of other news in Major League Baseball. And don't look now, but the Oakland A's might be good. I mean, who would have thought?
Sure could be.
But a game
remember Bruce Marshall said he thought Mark Kotze was doing a great job with them.
He did. And they've been playing some fun baseball. So we'll talk a lot of baseball at 4:30, 4:45. We'll get to big number of the day. And spoiler alert, my big number today involves the Oakland Athletics. So how about that? A fun weekend series for them over the weekend. 5 o'clock, DeMichael Cole, he'll join us from the Commercial Appeal, the Grizzlies beat writer. We'll talk a little bit of Grizzlies, but also we'll talk the NBA playoffs with him. He's been joining us every single week to talk about the NBA playoffs and what's going on. And, again, plenty to get to with DeMichael. 5:30, we'll get to what's trending. And at 5:45, we'll wrap up today's show like we always do with Taco Bell Crunch Time. Let me remind you, we're in our Family Leisure Studios, where family and fun come together. Get over there for factory direct pricing on swimming pools, spas, and patio furniture. It's patio season. Come by Family Leisure and check out the new 2024 patio furniture sets. Pool season will be here before we know it, so buy now to get in line for your pool installation and get pre-season pricing. Save $1,000 to $5,000 on all spas and swim spas. Also, special pricing on all in-stock saunas, theater seating, pool tables, and outdoor kitchens, but only at Family Leisure, 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40. I think we lost Brett. We'll work to get him back on in just a second. While we're working to get him back with us, let me remind you, text and call line, Sissy's Log Cabin listener line. Make sure anything we're talking about today, get your thoughts in to the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line. All our guests will join us as well in the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line, 901-360-8255. That's 901-360-8255 to join the show on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line. I think we're still not with Brett, so let's go ahead and get to top story of the day, and we'll catch back up with Brett.
Top story of the day.
Well, my top story of the day, it's got to be all of the NBA action over the weekend. Plenty of really exciting storylines, I think.
There
when
was.
To what happened yesterday in the Orioles and not the Orioles. Good Lord, that's baseball. When we get to the Magic and the Cavs game, that was really fun. Game 7, I think, Magic go up big, and then here come the Cavs, and they come back and end up winning that really, really comfortably in that one. But then also Saturday night, we get the Timberwolves and the Nuggets started their season, and really, really fun just to see Anthony Edwards and what he's done. This NBA playoffs has been fun to watch. I mean, he, I think, was already like a young rising star in this league. You could already see what
the future could look like for him.
But it's really been late in this season and in the NBA playoffs that that star has really started to shine. You see him making these plays. You see him taking over late in games and looks like a full-on star in this league, and I think it's been a welcome surprise, and I think it's definitely something that could help the Timberwolves keep this series competitive, maybe even win this series, which is crazy to think, but they've already taken one, so I think this one could be a really fun one that probably goes seven games.
And with DeMichael today and with in our dialogue today as well, I'm going to talk about, think about 2 years ago where the Grizzlies were and where Minnesota was.
Yeah.
And since that time, everything has gone well for them and horribly for the Grizzlies. I mean, we were right there in this period of changeover in the NBA to really seize on it, and that's my top story. Mm-hmm. The NBA down to its version of the Elite Eight in a year that will be remembered as the torch being passed in a real changing of the guard. I think it's Nikola Jokic and Luka Doncic's league now with Jason Tatum, Anthony Edwards, SGA, Brunson, Mitchell, and some other new stars. They're all here. Mm-hmm. And this was supposed to be our time. This was supposed to be the Grizzlies seizing on that opening with its young stars. The new day dawning with Ja and as the major centerpiece, as our superstar. And he wrecked it for himself and for this franchise for the short term. Now, he couldn't help the injury, but he could help all that other stuff that really led into this. And it's why it makes next year crucial.
Mm-hmm. Not top story of the day.
Well, my not top story of the day, it's got to be the busy weekend for Memphis football on the recruiting trail. A lot of news coming in over the week, and I guess I'll start with what happened last night when the Tigers picked up a commitment from UMass running back Greg DeRochers Jr. He committed to Memphis last night. He visited the campus earlier, but an interesting pickup for them because we already saw one running back enter the transfer portal, and so I don't think it would have been a massive surprise, or I don't think anybody anticipated another running back joining this group. But now here we are, a younger running back from UMass. He spent two seasons at UMass, but didn't get a ton of carries 2 years ago. Ran for 210 yards and two touchdowns on 44 carries. Then last year in 2023, 301 yards and four carries on 37 carries. Excuse me, four touchdowns on 37 carries. Also caught 15 passes for 185 yards and two touchdowns. He only posted a week ago from last night that he had received an offer. So very quick from getting the offer, at least in announcing the offer, to committing to Memphis. I think this is a guy that could come in and really learn the system this year, kind of sit, and then maybe next spring start competing to be on that depth chart as a one or two. He also has a lot of experience at UMass with their return game, kick return, punt return, so could be seen used in special teams. Late last night, I should say. Today's kind of when a lot of people have seen it, but late last night, really close to midnight, Reggie Grimes II, a defensive lineman from Oklahoma, committed to Memphis, a big-time pickup for Ryan Silverfield. This is what Jonah Dillon said about him right after he committed. Grimes was a highly ranked recruit out of Ravenwood High School and played four seasons in Norman, totaling 43 tackles. He's the second transfer commit of the spring for the Tigers. So I think a big pickup for Ryan Silverfield to shore up that that defense, and I think is a definitely big addition. And then over the weekend, I saw two stories, something to keep an eye on when it comes to Tiger football recruitment. I've talked a little bit about the four-star quarterback Antoine Hill. He's the top uncommitted quarterback in the class of 2025. There's a story on On3 about him where he talked about kind of the two schools that has shown the most interest in him and that he really likes are Florida and Memphis. He also has two visits set up. Those are his two official visits right now. Florida on May 31st and Memphis on June 7th. And this story on On3 talked about how since Memphis started contacting him, got him in on an unofficial visit, that they have slowly started to move up. And the writer of the story, Chad Simmons, even logged a pick for Memphis on his predictions for On3 that the four-star quarterback would commit to Memphis. So definitely something to keep an eye on. Like I said, he'll be here on a visit June 7th. And then his teammate down at Houston County in Georgia, offensive lineman Peyton Joseph. He's a top 150 offensive lineman, four-star. There's a story on Knowles 247, which is Florida State's 247 site, where he talked about right now his top two schools were Memphis and Florida State. He has an official visit set up with both those schools. Memphis, he's coming in the same time as his teammate Antoine Hill on June 7th. But he said right now it's about 50-50 for him. He's not leaning one way or the other, but those are his top two schools. I think this is awesome for Ryan Silverfield to be in recruiting matchups with four stars between Florida and Florida State. That is a great spot to be in for Ryan Silverfield. Shows how committed he is, how he's going out there and getting. He doesn't care what the stars are. He doesn't care the other schools that are going after these players. He is identifying big-time players, and he's going after them.
Reggie Grimes is the big one. I don't know how many people he could play for, but he could play for just about everybody. Sure. And I was once at an SEC championship game, 1999, Bama beat Florida, and you can go to YouTube and see it. His dad, playing inside, defensive tackle for Alabama, tip pass, returned it for a touchdown in a Bama route of Florida.
Holy cow.
So really, really good family there. And I knew his dad pretty well, Reggie Grimes. And this is a big-time player. And go to his highlight reel at OU, at OU against Texas in Red River, and see what he can do. He can play for a lot of people. My not top story, lose two out of three to the White Sox means you may never win another game. Cardinals back in last place and maybe just scantly better than last year, starting pitching a little bit better.
Maybe.
So far, not as many injuries. Back-to-back losing seasons on the way. Back-to-back last place probably on the way. And if the injury bug hit at the wrong time, 100 lost season on the way.
Brett, you did good. You know, you just gave the facts, Jack. Honestly, it's bad.
It really was no editorial.
No, I loved it. I thought we were gonna get, you know, complete ripping, complete losing of your promise of not ripping baseball. But
I'm waiting at least till I go to the Red Sox series.
Good luck with that. Honestly, I mean, I don't know if we'll get that far. I know it's only a couple weeks away, but.
Feels dicey, doesn't it?
It feels like we're really, really getting there. Well, that'll do it for top and not top story of the day. Let's go ahead and get to our first break. And when we come back, plenty to talk about. We'll talk about the NBA. We also have picks to make. We'll do that next on Sports Time.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome back into Sports Time. Brian Brett with you in our Family Leisure Studios. It was a busy weekend for the NBA. We had a couple games Friday night, but I know a lot of people were really excited for the start of that Timberwolves and Nuggets series. Saturday night, the standalone NBA game on Saturday, and it really lived up to the hype for game one, at least. Timberwolves come out and just get all on top of the Nuggets. I think, 12-2 before you could even look
made
up at
Ball
the game.
Arena really quiet.
It really did. It really did. And so I thought, Nuggets at home, I think they're going to be able to come back and win this
game.
Not
even close.
And, they tried to make it competitive, but could never really get that kind of home court groove that they usually get. And it was all Timberwolves, and it was all Anthony Edwards. Anthony Edwards looked unbelievable. He's looked really, really good this entire playoffs. But some of the things he was doing late in that game, when it looked like, okay, here comes Denver. Maybe Denver's going to come back and tie this game up, take a lead. And he would just go down and hit shots to really put them away. So I thought a really good game. But you also look at guys like Mike Conley knocked down some big-time shots late in that game. He's been a massive factor for this team, and I love to see it because I think a lot of us thought when he left Memphis that was kind of – the decline of his career, but has kind of had a resurgence here with the Timberwolves and playing a very key role for them this year.
And it's so aggravating. I touched on it in my top story. So aggravating. This was going to be the Grizzlies' time.
Yeah.
This is what Ja was going to be. Anthony Edwards. We were going to be the Timberwolves. We were going to be the ones that Kendrick Perkins is saying, "You better look out for those boys." And nothing's gone right for the Grizzlies since eliminating Minnesota 2 years ago.
That's a really good point. These guys that have now pretty much are taking the league by storm in the Timberwolves. And
Minnesota got better getting rid of Patrick Beverley.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And kind of before, we kind of knew Patrick Beverley was kind of different. But before he even played the Grizzlies in that play-in win where he jumps up and starts popping his jersey like they just won the NBA Finals. So you kind of knew something was there, but certainly Minnesota said, let's get rid of him, let's bring some other guys in, and it's played out for them in a huge way. Naz Reid, him coming off the bench, I think has been huge. That's a guy that I was reading a story a couple weeks ago before he won Sixth Man of the Year, where he was kind of talking about how over the offseason he had a decision to make and could have gone other places and maybe have been a starting big for them. But he said, I want to stay here in Minnesota. I think I can play a role here. I know what my defined role will be, and I think I can help this team. And he's been massive. I mean, 16 points yesterday, 4 rebounds, 3 assists off the bench, given 23 minutes off the bench. They are really clicking on all cylinders. Now, tonight's game, I know a lot of people have been talking about today, Rudy Gobert is questionable for that game for personal reasons. The Timberwolves themselves have not come out and said it, but it's being reported by several different people. His longtime girlfriend is pregnant, and they were expecting her to give birth some point during this playoffs. It looks like it could today could be the day, so he may or may not be playing for them tonight, which could certainly change things.
Who has the baby first, Rudy Gobert or Scottie Scheffler?
Well, I mean, have we gotten an update on
Scottie Scheffler? Was going to miss the Masters a few weeks ago.
And has now been out of 2 tournaments and haven't really gotten an update from him. Hope Scottie's doing well. Yeah.
So understandable there in Minnesota just took them apart. Mm-hmm. They threw it down on them and let the whole world know about it. And the Anthony Edwards technical in that game, that was horrendous.
Yeah.
And I think will be rescinded.
I think so. Yeah, you would hope so at least. But you never know now with officials and officiating. So that will be a really fun game tonight.
He got a technical for staring.
Yeah. It's a new one for me.
Angel Hernandez is now NBA ref.
Yeah, he's has to get 2 jobs now, reffing, doing NBA and MLB. So
in these playoffs, hockey and NBA, we're down to 8 teams in each.
Right.
Boston, Dallas, Denver, and Madison Square Garden have both tenants in the playoffs. We could get all Stanley Cup, all NBA Finals in the same buildings.
Wouldn't that be something?
I'd have to do the research if that's ever
happened.
Well,
yeah, that would be, certainly would be something for a big number if you could get that information handy.
And I couldn't get my leaves over.
Oh, man.
I couldn't get them through again.
Oh, man.
It's never going
to
happen.
This close, Brett. This close. Had to go to OT in Game 7.
They had not defeated Boston in a game seven since 1959.
Is that right?
They ran a archival footage of it. Not only were all the other players without masks, the goalies were without masks.
How far we've come.
That was dumb in 59, wasn't it?
Well, yes. You would have thought somebody would have said, hey, look, we got to have something in front of our face.
And it looked slower than Methuselah watching that play.
Oh, yeah. Yes, yes, yes. But no, our Leafs, man. I got to hang up the Leaf sweater for the season after
so now
loss.
We've got on one side Canada versus Canada. Mm-hmm. That's the only one that can get through. Yeah. And hadn't been a Canadian champion since 93, hadn't been an all-Canadian Stanley Cup since 89.
That's crazy. I mean, I think anybody
and
that...
And it's their sport.
Well, yeah, and I think anybody that is not a hockey fan, who's not keeping an eye on hockey, would say, of course, Canada has definitely won Stanley Cup.
That's crushing to them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like you said, that is their sport. So that is kind of a shocker, but I don't know. There's some good teams out there.
And at Vancouver, Edmonton, neither one of them, I think, will win it.
Oh, I don't know. Edmonton could win it.
You think they could?
If they start clicking, I mean, they've got the two best players left in the playoffs, maybe two best players in all of hockey on their team. They could win it, but it hadn't been successful for them in the past, so maybe not.
NBA back yet. It's not. We've got some picks to make on NBA. We had the group lock on Denver. We're all down 0-1 there. So Oklahoma City, Dallas. Who's everybody got?
Who? Yikes. I'll go with Dallas here. I think this is going to be another close series. I mean, I'm curious to see what Oklahoma City does in the second round after making it look really easy in the first round against the Pelicans. Now, Pelicans were shorthanded. I don't know how much you trust the Pelicans, but give me Dallas, even though Maxi Kleba out, and that's going to be a big time loss for them.
Johnny,
who you got in Dallas and OKC?
I got OKC.
Interesting.
I've got Oklahoma City as well. After the play-in and that first round, I'm 9-5, and y'all are both 8-6. I got lucky with Cleveland late in that one yesterday. So I have Oklahoma City. Johnny has Oklahoma City. Bryant, you have Dallas. Six. Indiana and the Knicks. Give me the Knicks.
Give me the Knicks. Yeah, I like the Knicks in this one, so I think they pull it off.
I got the Knicks as well.
Oh, wow. Group lock. How about that?
We're 4-1 in NBA group lock so far in the playoffs. And Boston and Cleveland. Here's another group lock, I think.
Oh, on the count of three. 1, 2, 3, Boston.
Boston.
Yeah,
Boston.
I mean, that's easy.
That was easy.
I don't think anybody in their right
Indiana
mind.
Indiana take a game? Two? What?
I think they can maybe take a game. I don't know.
They're going to have one. They're going to take one.
You think so?
I think they get one or two.
Sure.
They won't win the series.
No.
But aren't we kind of putting the Knicks on a pedestal?
Yeah, we are, but I just don't know. I think the Knicks are good, and I think they definitely showed it. I need to see. The Pacers need to prove it to me. You know, beat the Knicks with Jalen Brunson playing, then I'll say, you know, you're good. But, you know, beating the Bucks without Dame and Giannis pretty much that whole series, you got to prove it to me.
Lexus of Memphis brings you this hour every day for us. We appreciate them so much. They're our title sponsor, and they're at 2600 Ridgeway and online at lexusofmemphis.com. Call them at 901-334-9673. Great offers on all 2024 models and always special leasing options. Drive in luxury and confidence knowing that every new Lexus comes with complimentary first and second maintenance services. Stop by today at Lexus of Memphis at 2600 Ridgeway and put yourself in the driver's seat of the all-new 2024 flagship LS500. You'll be looking and you'll be driving in style. When you purchase a Lexus, you get top-of-the-line engineering and design, and that makes for the luxury driving experience. Online at lexusofmemphis.com. Experience amazing. Experience amazing at Lexus of Memphis.
Well, let's go ahead and get to a break. It was a really, really busy weekend in the sports world. A lot going on. So when we come back from the break, we'll talk about the weekend, what we were keeping our eyes on over the last couple of days. We'll talk about that next on Sports Time.
You already know you can listen to Sports 56 anywhere with the Sports 56 app, or at sports56whbq.com. But you can also watch us daily with live video of all of our shows on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
I think the biggest thing this weekend that people were keeping an eye on was the Kentucky Derby. It seems like one of the unique things that all sports fans come together and take a couple of minutes out of their Saturday afternoon to watch the race and
record wagering.
Was it really? Wow. So that's good. But it was a fun race, and obviously Mystic Dan ends up pulling it out, but we had to go to a photo finish, and even when they threw the photo up, I still couldn't tell who had won, and they were trying to explain
Did you know the mirror was there?
No. Well, that's what they were trying to explain
either.
About the mirror, and I was like, well, what's the mirror have to do with anything? Why
then is
there a mirror
there?
Yeah, and then I saw it.
And the mirror's big to them.
Mirror's really big. And so,
record TV ratings, too.
Oh, that's awesome. Largest
TV ratings since 1989.
Wow. Interesting. Huh. Wonder why so big this year.
Wagering.
Well, I guess that goes hand in hand, yeah.
People had skin in the game.
That's right. Interesting. Huh. So, yeah, that was a lot of fun Saturday. I did not have any skin in the game.
You did on these airwaves on Friday. That was it. All I had.
Yeah. I think real money might have made it a little bit differently.
I think the horse I would have bet on is still running.
Yeah.
Good luck to him.
Good luck.
Just open the gate and let him go.
Just let him go.
Let him be free.
Yeah. It is. Well, it's also interesting. I mean, you watch the Kentucky Derby and, like, it's so fascinating to me because I know nothing about horse racing. You know, if I'm being completely honest, I don't know the first thing about what makes a horse a good racing horse, what makes a horse bad. You know, if it goes
fast, I like it. Again, just too slow.
Yes. But, like, while they were walking the horses over and, like, these commentators they have, they're, like, uh-huh. You know, giving their, like, observations about, like, this horse is a little sweaty coming out. I'm like,
yeah.
What the world does that mean?
The horse racing analyst named Randy Moss from Hot Springs,
uh-huh.
He's about 5 years older than uh-huh. me. He was finishing at Fayetteville when I was a freshman. I didn't know my brother did and some others did.
Uh-huh.
He may be the best analyst on any sport ever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, he's unbelievable.
I mean, he knew and grew up in Hot Springs. He had a tout sheet out around the track at Oakland when he was 13 or 14.
That's how amazing. How about that? So, yeah, you hear they're saying, you know, these horses, this horse
and, you know,
sweating.
He crossed over into the NFL a few years ago and was
you're
a mainstay
right.
on the NFL Network,
you're
other Randy
right.
Moss.
Yes, and it became an issue on, I think, one of the WFAN channels around the Super Bowl because they booked the wrong Randy Moss, and we're trying to figure it out. And,
oh, is that right?
Yeah, because they go, tomorrow we're going to have Randy Moss on, and their producer was like, yeah, he's really excited. He goes, but he says, I didn't know Randy Moss was into horses, but he said he wants to talk horse racing when he comes on, and they were like, are you sure you booked the right Randy Moss? And he was like, yeah, of course. Like, and they were like, you know, there's another Randy Moss who does like horse racing and stuff like that. And he goes, I had no idea. And turns out he had booked the wrong Randy Moss.
He started Hot Springs, big Razorback football fan, and he's among the best out there.
Yeah, no, he's really good. And so
maybe the best.
You're absolutely right. So yeah, it was fun to watch and kind of hear like the different things about the horses when they get them like actually into the little spot before mm-hmm. the start. They're like all kind of watching how the horses react because I guess that makes a difference on how they come out of the gate. So it's kind of fun like listening to them talk about horse racing and me just be like, okay, that's cool.
Well, they know it,
they
and
do.
We don't.
No, I certainly don't. But I, you know, it seems fun. I mean, every year watching the Kentucky Derby, I was like, I'd watch more horse racing. This is fun.
I watched more of the horse race than I did the car race. Did you watch any of the car race that finished?
You know,
photo finish.
You know,
do they have a mirror at car racing?
You know, Brent, I don't.
I think that'd be dangerous if you crashed into.
And you know, reflections and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Going
140 miles per hour.
A little risky. I did not watch any of the NASCAR race that had a photo finish.
I didn't watch a second.
Heard about it though, so that's good enough for me, I guess.
I will watch much more horse racing this year than I will NASCAR.
We know how much horse racing you'll watch. So
I got about five more minutes in me.
The rest of this year.
Brett, I do want to give Brian credit, though. Brian did say, Johnny, you shouldn't go with fierceness because a horse never go back to back. And I said, you know what, Brian, you don't know what you're talking about. Well, Brian knew what he was talking about.
I told you, the favorite, I forgot what my note was, but it was something like a favorite hasn't won in forever. And a favorite hasn't won since 2018, I told you.
I have to give Brian his credit.
Hard to do.
I was locked in on the...
You was.
Another thing I wish the coverage would do is pop up. I know Saturday they had to wait for the judge and actually sort out. And it may have been time for them to clear out of the broadcast, but pop up what the money is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that'd be cool, yeah.
Yeah, I would
pop
like
up
that.
With the win play show and what you know on a $2 ticket what that represents.
Oh, that'd be great. That would help so many people, I think, you know, just to kind of see it up there and so they're not having to try to figure out and
could you I mean, it was hard to find Saturday night to find win play show and four.
Yeah, oh, well that's the big thing is cuz I was talking to somebody and they were like, "Well, y'all made picks on the show, right?" And I was like, "Yeah." And they were like, "Did you like how did your picks go?" And I was like, "Well, I don't know because all I heard them say was who won, and so I have no idea who placed or showed." And I kind of tried to look for it while I was talking to them, and I can't find them.
And they know everybody's betting on it, so why get that out.
Yes, exactly. I mean that. Well, and that's like the thing.
And I don't need one of the horse racing snoots to text. And they are the snootiest fans that ever text into here. Don't tell me and say, "Well, you could go to the Thoroughbred Network and get it." I don't even know how to find that on my TV, and not gonna try.
Thoroughbred Network. How about that? Touche. How about that?
Hell, I can barely find Channel 3.
Well, you make it difficult now. But yeah, no, I'm with you because, I mean, there's so many other, like, I know, like, regular race car racing, like NASCAR, like, once the race is done, they immediately throw up the leaderboard and, you know, who won and second place, third place, and how far they were behind. Like, I wish they would throw that up there. That would be a lot. It would really help.
And Friday, I asked Dick Girardi, and we'll have him back for the Preakness. And I don't know if we'll have him back for the Belmont if there's just no chance at Triple Crown. We may, and I asked him the state of American thoroughbred racing in the United States.
Yeah.
And there's always that lament. I think one of the biggest things is their fans. You're talking about a closed click society, and they almost don't want you rubes in it. You should be wanting more people watching and involved in it.
You should be out there trying to recruit everybody to come.
It is a little tight-knit society.
It really is.
And I first really realized that when we were very critical of those rulings a few years ago in a couple, maybe even back-to-back derbies, but a couple different times. And they came out to play and to tell us how little we know and how much they know. Look, that's part of the problem.
Yeah, is you're gatekeeping. You're keeping us out of your sport. I don't like that. Again,
sport of kings.
No, that's right. Well, we were just talking about at the beginning of the show. I mean,
Ryan
racing
King
and boxing have kind of gone in the complete opposite direction of what you want it to go. You should be saying, "Hey, look, come
join one, come
sport.
All.
Yes, come. We would love to teach you about our sport, but." You're right. It seems like it's the exact opposite. They like to kind of keep it to themselves, and sports racing is ours. So you can have it, I guess. But let's go ahead and wrap up this hour and get to a break. And when we come back, plenty to get to on the other side. We've got David Cobb from CBS Sports. He's going to join us, talk a lot of college basketball, a lot of college football, plenty to get to with both. We'll do that next on Sports Time.